all the traveling that I did was, I went a lot of places after I got, older. Because, after I went to school, went to college and took up beauty culture or cosmetology, mm-hmm. Well, then when I came back to Esmont, I started working here. Then I joined the organization, beauticians organization over in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to travel and not going to beauty shows.
Mm.
We used to go mostly down in the Tidewater area, Norfolk, Portsmouth, Hampton, and Petersburg. We used to go a lot of places to the hair shows.
When did that happen? Fun. When did you get your degree?
I graduated from St. Paul. That was in Lawrenceville, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
I graduated in 1950.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then moved straight here.
And then I moved straight here, and then I worked in Charlottesville under another beautician. Because it's always good after you first come out of school, you always should work under someone else first before you go in business for yourself get more experience.
So
I worked under this lady called Beatrice Folks. I think you spell it F-O-U-L-K.
Okay.
Beatrice Folks.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a huge beauty salon. Well, she had a huge place there on Preston Avenue. And it was also a hotel too. And she just had a booming business there. She was probably one of the first black people that had a business like that in Charlottesville. Because there were others, I think. But she just had a beauty shop, and she had a hotel. And then she had all kinds of foods you could buy, people could come in for dinner, lunch, or whatever.
Wow. Now, did she cater to a white clientele?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she never turned down anyone. Mm-mm.
But, I mean, was the hotel just for whites? Or
for
blacks?
It was mostly geared towards blacks.
Okay.
But I'm sure if white people came there, if they wanted to stay. But
it
was a black-owned place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she really did, and she had a lot of help, She had people and so I worked in the beauty shop part there for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Then I decided to move back to Esmont.
Mm-hmm.
And
were you married at the time?
No.
So you started that?
Because I didn't marry when I didn't marry too soon in life. I think I was probably in my late 30s or early 40s when I got married.
Okay.
So anyway, I moved back to Esmont, and I moved next door to my family home over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little room there where my mother had built, and that's when I had my beauty shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very good business. I had people, because at that time, I was the only beautician in Esmont, so that was quite a new thing for the people here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had people from, of course, Esmont, Scottsville, Howardsville, Nelson County.
Mm-hmm.
People just came. Oh, Buckingham. I can't leave that out.
Mm.
And occasionally I had people that came from Charlottesville. So I had a real good business. Of course, I was the owner, sole owner at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked it out. I was a busy girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How'd you advertise?
Oh, I advertised it through, that was a black man in Charlottesville who had a newspaper company. And he was the owner of that.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Mr. Randolph White.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a newspaper that he published called The Tribune. And I used to advertise through that.
What was the name of your business?
Ruth's Beauty Salon.
Okay.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had cards, business cards printed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give them to my customers, and naturally they would go maybe show it to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And in my travel, I would take some of my cards with me and just pass them out. And then people used to hear about me being here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a new thing around here during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So It worked out well. I had a successful business. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Did you only have women clients?
Oh, well, mostly, yes, because I didn't get involved in doing a lot of men, because most of the time I was here alone in the daytime, mm-hmm. and I just didn't want to get involved, but I did some of the men here in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you develop new hairstyles and keep up with the trends?
Oh, by going to these hair shows that I was telling
right.
you about. Yeah. That was one of the main reasons for going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there were books that, you know, we could get with different hairstyles.
Mm-hmm.
Hairstyling books, yeah. You could go and get them in Charlottesville off the news counter or mm-hmm. whatever, yeah.
So what was the biggest number of clients you had in a day?
Oh, well, 10.
Really?
I don't know how I did it, Ooh. But I see times I had 10. That's when I was younger now.
And was it just hair or other things?
It was just hair.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I remember times I know I did 10 people a day. No hair.
All in that room in your
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
It was tough. And that's been about 50-some years ago.
When did you stop?
Well, I really have what you call stopped.
Oh.
I still have a few customers.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that room next door, there's my shop in there. I still have a few people, like senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of young people because, you know, I haven't gone to any of the recent hair shows
mm-hmm.
to keep up with the latest styles.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the younger people go to Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, at my age, I couldn't do a lot of hair now, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. But I had a good 50-some years of good business.
Good for you.
Yeah. But as you say now, I just have a few.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about people's attitudes towards Charlottesville when you were growing up here?
People's attitude towards
yeah.
Charlottesville?
Or what did you think about Charlottesville?
Oh. Well, are you speaking about the integration part or segregation part or whatever?
Any that you want to talk about.
Oh, well, Charlottesville was a nice place. I mean, that was the closest city that we knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the closest place that we could go to a movie or if you wanted to do any extensive shopping
mm-hmm.
because they
mm-hmm.
had, you know, different stores,
mm-hmm.
nice stores at that time. I wish some of the stores were there now that they had back there then.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it was a nice place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that was during the time of segregation, because naturally that was everywhere.
Yeah.
Until that barrier broke.
What were some of
things got better?
What were some of your experiences of segregation?
In Charlottesville?
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Well, you couldn't just go in the restaurants and sit down and eat the way the white people did.
Mm-hmm.
And the bus station, I remember so well because we used to travel maybe after I got older, we used to travel back and forth to town on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
The bus used to come through here and pick us up. So the bus station was segregated because they had bathrooms, say colored women, colored men,
mm-hmm.
yeah, white women, white men.
Mm-hmm.
So they were segregated. And the schools were segregated, so that was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not only Charlottesville, Scottsville, and everywhere.
Yeah, did you go to Scottsville?
Oh, yes.
When you were growing up?
Yes, we did, mm-hmm. yeah. Because they had stores down there too, but they didn't have stores like they did in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't as nice as they were.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they had more stores down there than they had up here.
Mm-hmm. And did you mostly go to both of those places, Scottsville and Charlottesville, with your parents?
Yes.
Until you were grown up?
Until I was grown up,
mm-hmm.
oh yeah. Until I was grown up, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you don't remember any episodes where you or your friends tried to kind of I don't know, step over the lines of segregation at any point?
No. It seems like to me that didn't happen too much. I don't know whether nobody braved themselves enough to do that. Because, you know, it could have ended in some type of terrible chaos.
Yeah. Or worse.
But I don't remember anyone being brave enough to try to step over the segregated lines.
What about political organizing here in Esmont, kind of along the lines of integration and civil rights? Do you remember activity happening here in Esmont?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't remember in Esmont particularly. I know in Charlottesville they had a lot of political action going on, you know, about segregation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Esmont, we always kept in tune with what was happening. And of course, during that time, Scottsville didn't want our kids to come down there to go to school. So some of our parents up here, we sent our kids down there anyway. Mm-hmm. After it got to the point that, you know, the law came out that you could send your kids a school of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Did you?
I think it was about three of us parents that did that.
Were you?
I sent my son, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they said all kinds of things about what was going to happen, but
yeah,
I don't know, we did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And it worked out, didn't nothing happen. Because
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We just wanted our kids to get into the white schools where they could get a better learning,
mm-hmm.
because black schools, they didn't have the same books, and they weren't teaching on the level that, you know, that the white schools were teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So we just wanted our kids to get into a better school where they were getting the education that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason why I sent mine down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember telling you telling me before about the history curriculum, that it changed a little bit. Could you
the history.
Just remark, well, that basically there used to be black history taught in the black only schools, but then when...
Oh yeah, and I think you were asking me one time about what type of books that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was growing up in school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we did have black history, but it was only in the black schools.
Mm-hmm.
But because they didn't have too many black history books in the white schools. So, and then we had regular books like math, English, and literature, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you remember what literature you read in high school?
Yes, I should. Oh my goodness.
That's a very detailed question.
Yeah, it is. But okay. Not right off the top of my mind. I guess I can't think right now, but I sure read a plenty of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So were you or friends you have here involved in the civil rights activity in Charlottesville? Any of that?
Well, it was any of my friends involved in it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not that I can recall.
Hmm. You were going to mention your mother's work with the Van Cleefs. You want to just detail that for
yes,
the record?
I guess I should have said that along with the others. But yeah, my mother did work in the later years now. She worked at the Van Cleefs estate,
mm-hmm.
in the laundry department, I would say, because he had a place up there that was huge, and he hired a lot of people. He had different departments that you could work. So she was working with the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that estate?
It's just up the road here.
Uh-huh.
When you get to the crossroad
uh-huh.
here, well, it's just right over there.
Okay. Did only...
Well now, I guess I need to back up. He had another... I think that bank, that estate I'm talking about, I think it was over at a place called Nidgely.
Could and you spell that?
It's N-Y-D...
Oh. R-E-I-E.
Yeah.
R-I-E, because I think I saw it on the road coming here.
N-Y-D-I-R-E, or something like that. But anyway, that's why I think they had most of their help.
Hmm.
And most of his, he just hired a lot of people here in Esmont and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he was about the only man around here that was rich enough to do that.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that was at Nidri. And of course, that's a little, but Woodville, I think they call it now. That's the house that's up here, right across from the crossroad up here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They moved there later?
They moved there later. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At Nidri, was that surrounded by other white houses?
Well, no, I don't think it was any other houses around there.
Okay, it's just
mm-hmm.
so big.
It was just, mm-hmm, just him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my mother worked there for a while until she died, really.
Hmm.
She worked there until she died.
How'd she like working for them?
For me?
How did she like working?
Oh, yes. Well, she liked it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because she was used to taking in laundry in the house anyway. So mm-hmm. she was well familiar with the work.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were other ladies, too, that worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he employed a lot of people in this area. That was the only place you could find work to do.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Aside from the slate quarry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did people have a good impression of him
mm-hmm.
as an employer?
Yes, because he was really good to his people. I mean, he would, you know, at Christmas time, he would give them a lot of things.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Bonuses.
Bonuses, I think, and then everybody would get a big basket just filled up with all kinds of goodies, cakes and nuts and candy and
mm-hmm.
ham, maybe turkeys too, I guess.
Mm.
So he was good to his health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of competition to try to work there?
Was it a lot of competition? Oh, I don't think so, because he had maids, butlers, cooks.
Mm-hmm.
He just had everything mm-hmm. that you could name.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes.
Now,
I guess they got along all right.
Did your father ever work there?
No, my father never did work there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just my mother.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember if your mother, when she gave birth to all of you, if she had a midwife or went to a hospital?
Oh, yes. All of us were born right over there in that family home next door.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a midwife
mm-hmm.
each time.
Do you remember who they were?
Yes. I remember one was my cousin that used to live right across the road here, my father's niece, cousin Beatrice Swan.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that with two N's?
Just one, I think, yeah. I know she was, I think she was the main one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because every time my mother was getting ready to have, because I only remember the two younger brothers, she would send us away from home when she was getting ready to have a baby.
Didn't want you to hear her yelling.
I'm telling you, that must have been tough during that time
mm-hmm.
to be at home. Wow, I don't know how they stood it.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about what the midwife, like the actual process, if she used, what she used, medicines, you know?
Well, I don't know. The only thing I can remember was she needed some hot water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that was for.
Mm-hmm. Cleaning up.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Actually, that's the only thing I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Hot water. And so when we come back home, we had a brother. As for my older sisters, I guess it was a sister or a brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh dear.
Do you remember if the midwife came before the actual time of birth at all during the pregnancy?
No. Uh-uh.
Just at the moment.
It was just at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
As I can remember.
Mm-hmm. And then you got married in your late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your husband's name, I think you already actually
told me. His name was Edward Thomas Brooks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you had one son, is that right?
That's one son. He was born in 1960. At the Martha Jefferson Hospital in Charlottesville.
What was his name?
His name was Edward Rydell Brooks.
That was a first
name.
Rydell. Is it R-Y?
D-E-L-L.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So I just had the one son.
Well, Mrs. Brooks, is there anything else you would like to share with us? Stories, events, things that are just miscellaneous, like, I don't know, your walks to school, any odd episodes occur on your walks to school?
All I know is we had to walk to school every day, 2 miles each way. Yes, and I mean, the roads weren't paved as they are now. When it rained, it was muddy. And when it was dry, it was dusty. So we had to walk it twice a day.
What'd you do about the mud? What kind of shoes did you have?
Oh, I guess we were what you call galoshes. People used to call those things galoshes. I guess the kids wouldn't wear those things today. I did. Well, sometimes we didn't want to wear them, but we had to. And you would get dirty before you get to school. So in the half, when we came back home, we would have to take off those things and wash them and dry them by the stove and wear them the next day. Because, you know, we didn't have a lot of things. Parents had so many children, you just didn't have a lot of changes of clothes. So you had to wash some things when you get back home and dry them by the wood stove. And wear them the next day.
Did all the children wash their own clothes?
The younger ones didn't. The older ones mostly did it. Well, sometimes my parents would do it. That's the way that was.
How'd you take baths?
We used to have a big round 10 tub. It was a good size tub. And we used to take baths in that. Of course, we had to bring water for that.
I was going to ask.
So you can imagine bringing enough water for all of us to take a bath.
And heating it up,
right. Now, during that time, most of the older people had what you call a boiler on the end of the stove, something like a tank. And they would keep that full of water, and of course they used nothing but wood and stuff like that then, because they didn't have electric stoves, and they had to keep those stoves going all day long for cooking and ironing, and that water just stayed warm. And they were big tanks that was on the end of the stoves. I guess you could buy the whole thing like that. So that's the way we heated the water a lot of times. Of course, we had to wash in those tubs, had to bathe in the tubs. That's all we had. I can tell you a joke, but I don't think that it happened. I know it didn't happen in our family, but I always heard that people who had large families, real large families, say that they would let the kids wash in the same water. More than one kid washing the same water. I don't know whether that really happened, but I have heard that before.
Maybe they at least reheated it.
Maybe they did. Let's hope so. Let's hope so anyway.
Can I ask you just one last kind of general question about the Esmont community? And how many white homes there were in the Esmont community, like compared to the black homes? Was there a sharp division, and how often did you see other white people when you went into town, for instance, to the stores?
When you went into what town?
Into Esmont.
Into Esmont town.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is when you're growing up.
I must say that When I was growing up, there were no white people living up here.
Mm-hmm.
All the white people live in the lower Esmont.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it was nothing but black people up here, up on this end. So you didn't see too many white people, except you went to the post office for something, or went down there to one of the stores to get something, like the C.C. Steed store. Our parents used to send us down there. A friend of mine and I, we used to go down there. Our parents would give us a list, and we would take it to Mr. Steed, and he would pack up the stuff and let us bring it back home. And believe it or not, we had to walk through the woods then to get to his store.
Hmm.
It was they had paths and things through the woods during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know Bernice and I, we used to walk to Mr. Steed's store and get the things that our parents wanted us to get.
Mm-hmm.
And
so was it a shortcut?
Yeah, it was a shortcut, I guess. We could have gone down, I guess, and went down Route 6, but it was a shortcut through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, at that time, people weren't afraid to walk in the woods. But you wouldn't dare do that now. That's right.
Do you think there was a reason if it... I guess it was a shortcut. But
well, it was a shortcut.
Mm-hmm. And there were no other houses in the woods?
I can only remember one house we used to pass. And his name was Andrew Wayne.
Rains like rainfall.
No, Wayne. W-A-Y-N-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
Wayans.
Mm-hmm. Was he white or black?
He was black.
Mm-hmm.
I remember passing his house. I think he was about the only one that we would pass. But this was a predominantly black neighborhood up here. And now it's almost... equal black and white almost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there any places in Esmont that your parents cautioned you to stay away from?
Any places?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
For physical reasons, like a dangerous something,
oh,
or anything?
Oh, yeah, something like that. Well, the only thing that pops out in my mind right now is that when we used to go, go down in the lower part of Esmont, there was an old quarry over there that we had to pass. And I know they used to tell us not to go near that place.
Was it full of water?
It had water in it, yeah, because I know some of the kids would be devils enough to throw rocks in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I can remember, that we were cautioned mm-hmm. not to go near, not to be in that area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would neighbors and other children's parents supervise you when you were playing? Was it only your parents, or was it kind of a neighborhood thing?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can tell you something about that. Well, during that time, well, if you were visiting your neighbor's children, and if something went wrong, or if you did something you shouldn't have done, sometimes those parents at that time didn't mind whipping you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would tell your parents, and when you got back home, you would get another one.
No, double jeopardy.
Yeah, that's right. But nowadays, it doesn't work like that, because it seems like parents do not want you to tell them anything about your child, their child.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they just don't accept it too well.
So it was different back then?
Oh, yes, it was. I think kids would be better now if, you know, they were supervised by other parents and other leaders of the community.
Mm-hmm. Who did you think of as leaders of the community?
Well, I thought of the people, maybe, for instance, maybe, the people who were deacons of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and ministers. And then we had some people in that who was great leaders in this community. They were great leaders politically. They would take a part in a lot of political things that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just sort of look up to people like that.
Mm-hmm. 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 What did you think of the Benjamin Yaffe family?
Oh, I thought they were very nice people. Yes. Like they say, Mr. Yancey, he was the principal of the school down there for a long time. And I remember his wife. She was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
She also belonged to that household of Ruth that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And we always looked up to those. At that time, she was older than I was.
Mm.
So we always looked up to people like that. Then at some point in time, they moved away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So because she was older, did you socialize with her?
No, we didn't socialize with her. We just, you know, would go to that meeting together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all met at that household loop at the same time. But as socializing with her, you don't see her at church. But we didn't do any visiting, you know, like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who did you do visiting with?
Well, most of my relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, mostly relatives, uh-huh. Cousins, aunts and uncles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had some aunts that lived out in the Keene area.
Mm-hmm.
I had uncles that lived here in Esmont. And then we had good neighbors. I would visit my neighbors' friends,
mm-hmm.
especially the ones that were my age.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was your mother friends with
yes,
those women, too?
Yes, because she and Mrs. Lydia Nelson were great friends.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I was a friend to her children. We all played together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then I had a cousin that lived not too far from here, Cousin John Bolden. He had children, and one of his daughters and I, we were around the same age. We graduated the same year, Callista Bolden, because
mm-hmm.
she lives in New Jersey now.
Mm-hmm.
So we all played together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll ask you again, because like, we kind of got off on other subjects, but
yeah.
Any other memories?
Well, I don't know if you wanted to know about my recent, well, my son, he went to school. He graduated from Almar High School.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I need to talk about my family, my immediate family, since I've talked about everything else.
Sure.
So anyway, my son Ed, he graduated from Almar High School in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And so after graduating from that, he went to the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a person that loved basketball. So he was trying to pursue a basketball career. Someone had mentioned that, had mentioned Milwaukee. So
mm-hmm.
I think that was one reason he went there.
Mm-hmm.
So he stayed there 2 years, and then he ended up going to Clarendon, Texas,
mm-hmm.
to the college down there, Clarendon College in Texas. And he stayed there 1 year. Then he decided to come back to the East Coast. So
Back to mom.
And he graduated from the University College of Buffalo in Buffalo, New York in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And he majored in the field of communication.
Mm-hmm.
He was always a courageous and adventurous person.
Mm-hmm.
He loved to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So then after graduating from college, he moved to Washington, and he worked there for a while at a radio station called WUST.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in Washington, yeah.
Does he have a deep voice?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes, he does. Uh-huh. Then he decided to marry. He met a girl in college in Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
Buffalo, New York. He met Tracy Lynn Surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. He met her in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And they got married, and she was from Hightsville, Maryland.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And after marrying her, they bought a home in Silver Spring, New York. I mean, Silver Spring, Maryland. They bought a home in Silver Spring, Maryland. And they stayed there for a while. They had one child to born there, Charles, the oldest one. He was born in Maryland. Then they decided to move back to Virginia. They came back and they lived in Charlottesville. And then they Kenton was born. He was the second boy. And then in a few more years, they had a little girl and her name was Carla. And so now Tracy, she worked at the C&P Telephone Company in Maryland. And she was she graduated in for computer. She was a computer programmer. So now that C&P Telephone Company where she worked in Maryland is called Bell Atlantic now. Okay. So that was that's what her major, computer programmer. So after they moved back to Charlottesville, as I was saying, and the three kids were born, well, they lived in Charlottesville for a while. Ed did some communication in at the radio stations over there for a while. He worked at his major. And then, I guess being young and with a family, those radio stations didn't pay enough money. So he tried to get another job, and so he applied for State Farm Insurance Company. So that's where he works now. And he works in the Department of Public Affairs. And they, after leaving Charlottesville, they moved back to Esmont. And they built a home very close to me, just down the hill a little ways.
See the grandkids.
Yes, often. I see them. Yeah. So now all the kids are in school. Charles is the oldest, and he's 16. He goes to Monticello. And Kenton is 12, and he goes to Walton. And Carla is 9, and she still goes to BFYANC. Okay. So I guess that's...
And they'll have a whole other history to relate someday.
Yes, that's right.
They already do have their their short history.
Because you know, Charles will be graduating in a few more, in a couple of years, I guess. And he is very good in computing. He's really good with the computer system.
That's the
That's the thing.
That's the thing these days.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Hey, I'm not sure I got the date of your birthday. Did you say when you were born?
Oh, did I? No, I think I didn't say that. I was born November the 9th, 1928.
Okay, we got it down. All right, I believe I have to.
I have to go. Yeah. Well, I guess you have covered.
Thank you so much.
I guess you have covered all the information you need.
I think we covered a lot.
Yes.
I think you know, gee, we got a lot of stuff down.
Yeah.
I'll do the same thing as I did before.
Okay.
In terms of typing it all out.
Okay.
And hand it back to you.
All right.